welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com and today I'm here with best-selling British crime writer and playwright Adam Croft. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
And Adam's been on the show before, but way back in April 2012. And this is, you know, it's because this podcast's been running so super long now. It's like 6 years. So, Adam, just give us an update. What has changed in your writing world? And just tell us a bit more about you.
Quite a lot's changed, actually. I've essentially been able to kind of get the creative and the business sides of writing together, which is something I've struggled with for quite a while. I've always been fine with writing the stories, been fine with having run businesses in the past, but actually bringing those together and sort of getting that commercial side of the brain to work at the same time as the creative side of the brain, that's what's changed, really. Using a lot of different things, Facebook advertising for me, I know you've spoken about that a lot with Mark Dawson. That's worked fantastically for me, and especially in the most recent book that I had out, back end of 2015, has worked really well.
Well, we'll come to the details, but just tell people a bit more about the books that you write, so that they can understand your place in the firmament as such.
Sure, yeah. I write two series mainly, the Knight and Culver House crime thrillers, which are kind of down the Ian Rankin, Peter James kind of, you know, British detective in a British town. I also write the Kempston Hardwick mysteries, which are kind of a cosy mystery, but with a humorous twist. It's kind of like a pastiche and a bit of a Mickey take on the golden age of crime, detective fiction, Agatha Christie, Dorothy L. Sayers, things like that. Bit of a tongue-in-cheek approach to that. And I started recently branching out more into psychological thrillers as well, which is what the most recent book of mine was, which is my ninth book.
Yeah, and are you a full-time author now? Are you making a living this way?
Yes, yeah, I have been for a while now, for a few years. Obviously, you know, what's full-time? It's full-time hours anyway, but not always full-time money. But in terms of the way things have gone the last couple of months, that's,
It's getting better.
Yeah, to say the least. There's no going back now.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is you said there about struggling with the business, balancing the business and creative side. And I know a lot of the listeners are going through that struggle now. How did you kind of psychologically pull yourself together and sort it out? Like, how did you get yourself into that mindset?
I think it's a case of organisation. It's a case of having a plan and knowing what you're going to do. And for example, I knew that I was going to dedicate a lot of time to sorting out the Facebook adverts. And I took Mark Dawson's course. I buckled down, watched through the videos, took notes, tested. And you've got to have that business side of the brain in the first place. You've got to be willing to take risks. I mean, I speak to so many people who say, you know, I'm running, for example, on Facebook ads again, I'm running ads at $10 a day. I'm getting an ROI of 300%. That's good, isn't it? I say, yeah, of course it is. You know, start scaling up. Throw what you can at it, because at the end of the day, you want 300% of $1,000 rather than 300% of $10. And that's when the kind of seems to be this kind of clunking of gears together. And I go, oh, I'm not really comfortable with spending more money. And you think, well, you've got to have that trust in the figures as well as the trust in your words. It's a strange thing to kind of bring together, I think, but it's, I suppose you've got to be business brained you've got to be business brained in the first place. If you're not, then, you know, that's absolutely fine, but you know, perhaps it might be better going down the traditional route rather than the self-publishing route, because you've got to have that entrepreneurial spirit as well, if you want it to be a commercial success. If you're just looking to put books out there and see what happens, then that's fine. That's what I did 5 years ago as well, and it did okay then.
But you're also a playwright. So I just want to bring that up because you're writing these commercial, you know, thrillers, crime books. Playwriting is not traditionally known as a way to, you know, as a someone with a business head. So how does that play into your creative life?
It plays very well into my creative life and not at all well into my business life. it's very much my creative outlet. And the plays are nothing like the books either. You know, we're talking mostly kind of surrealist drama and one or two kind of farces and comedies thrown in. But that's kind of my... The theatre's a big love of mine. I act as well, and it's always been a big... big love of mine. So writing plays is something that's kind of, I do it for me, and yeah, there's some money in it, but it's not something I could do on its own.
Yeah, and I'd like to advise all the poets in the audience that's pretty much the attitude I think most poets probably need to have.
It's exactly the same. Yeah, you know, no matter how good a business brain you've got, it's difficult with fiction. It's bloody difficult, but you know, if you're getting into playwriting and poetry, you're talking a whole nother level of, it's almost insane to try to make a business out of that.
But I like, you know, that, I think that's what I like about it is, you know, you talk about this business side, but you do have this other side that is clearly for the love of writing. So let's come back and just wind the clock back. So we are going to talk about the Facebook ads, because what's happened in the last year since Mark put out his course, you know, being in the cut or in the cusp of the wave as such, is a lot of authors have tried Facebook ads, but I would probably say that most of them have tried and failed. So let's take you back to when you first discovered Facebook advertising. How did you start with Facebook advertising? Like how would you advise other people start? So did you start by looking at your books and trying to decide on audiences, or did you start with ads? How did you get started?
I started with the books and trying to work out, you know, which ones I was going to advertise and how I was going to advertise them. At the time, I only had the four books. I only had four books from each series. And I was advertising the more recent ones in the series. They were doing fairly well. You know, I was getting positive ROI. Didn't have any money to throw at it though. So I was only, you know, I was doing sort of £10 a day, something like that. And what happened there is, even though I was advertising the fourth book in the series, a lot of the sales were going up for the first, second and third. A lot of people were seeing, you know, that the fourth book was one being advertised, that it was a fourth book, and they were going back and buying the other ones. When your first book's perma-free and, you know, you kind of, there's perhaps not all that much money to be made in that. It's quite difficult to track the success.
I'll just stop you there because some people haven't, you know, got into the detail of this yet. So first of all, define ROI so people know what you're talking about.
ROI is your return on investment. So it's essentially a way of measuring how profitable your advertising has been. I mean, the simple calculation is to divide the profit by what you're spending. So for example, if I look at my spreadsheet from Sunday here, I spent £783 on ads and made £15.94, which comes out 103%, which is just over doubling.
And we'll just point out there that that's an advanced level of spending. When you're first starting out, the ROI is often less, as in how many ads did you set up at the beginning and how much money were you down before things started to go up?
Percentage wise, the ROIs will stay the same because it's relative to what you're spending. So an ROI of 100% means that you're doubling what you're spending on your ads in profit each day. I started at low level. I'd say it was probably, I tried it for probably 2 or 3 weeks and didn't get much out of it. And I kind of stopped. I went back and took stock and I thought, I've got to have a kind of different approach to this. It's a lot of people are advertising books on Facebook now. It's, you know, readers are, especially if you've liked a page of, you know, Lee Child or James Patterson or someone like that, you're going to be getting hammered by Facebook ads all day long. So you've got to do something a bit different. And I kind of went from the other side, rather than saying, you know, this is what I want to write, this is what I've written, how am I going to market this? I thought, well, it's, you know, perhaps it's time to start doing it the other way around. What are the readers going to be looking for? What's going to hook them? And you know, the idea of these kind of high concept hooks is something that always really interests me, which is where the idea for the most recent book came from.
Right. So you. So let's just again. We'll come back to that high concept hook idea. So just going back to the beginning. So you set up, say, 10 ads or whatever, and a lot of them didn't work. So you narrowed it down to things that might have worked better. But after a couple of weeks, as you said, you gave up. Now, that's, I think, the journey of most people with Facebook advertising right now. So can you just be a bit more specific about how you did restart that? Like, you know, how did you do the research around what the readers would want?
Well, I went back and did the course through again, watched the videos again, and thought there's got to be kind of something missing there. And I think what we don't often do so much as authors is put ourselves in the position of the reader. And I mean, we always say, write the books that you'd love to read. And it was a case of doing that, because I was targeting readers of certain authors. And I thought, well, I am a reader of these authors. Would I look at this advert completely subjectively and think, completely objectively and think it's something I'd want to read? And I thought, possibly not. It's good. It's not, you know, it's not a bad advert. It doesn't look like a bad book, but it doesn't really stand out. So it's a case of putting myself in the mindset of me as Adam, the crime thriller reader, rather than Adam, the crime thriller writer. And trying to kind of not generate storylines around it, but sort of come up with those ideas and getting to that mindset of, you know, perhaps coming up with something from a reader's perspective. And I mean, in terms of the hook, I've always been sort of fascinated by what Stephen King does with horror, which is kind of put in normal people in a normal situation, normal everyday life, and then something weird, bizarre, catastrophic, horror-wise happens to them. And it's kind of trying to kind of amalgamate that with the thriller genre as well, so that you've got thriller like things happening to people in their everyday life, and it could be you, it could be me, it could be anyone.
Okay, so the ads that you're running now for this book, the most successful ads you've run, you actually wrote a book in order to use Facebook advertising for it.
Sort of, yeah. It was an idea that I'd had kind of floating around, and it was something I'd written bits of. I'd never really got that far with it, and I wasn't sure how it was ending, and it sat in the drawer for months. I mean, I started, you know, before I even discovered Facebook advertising, months before it, I'd kind of started on it, and I was all but ready to kind of throw it away. And when I was thinking about, you know, this idea of doing something a bit different and basing it around this hook for advertising, that came back into my head again. I thought, hang on, I've got this, it might work. So essentially, the reason it's out there and the reason it's published is because I knew it'd be a hugely marketable book. If it wasn't Facebook adverts, I wouldn't say I would never have thought of the idea and written it, but I would never have finished it, and I don't think it would be published, no.
And that's your most successful ad, is that one with that hook?
Yes, yeah. By a long, long way.
and that, I think this is brilliant, and I know people listening going, that's crazy, because surely you take what you have and then you try and sell what you have, which is what most people are doing.
If people want it. And if they don't want it, then that's the problem, isn't it?
And no amount of advertising is going to persuade people that they want something that they don't want.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
but and I find that really, I think that's genius. And, you know, kudos to you for basically going, okay, do you know what? And that doesn't mean that your other books, that people don't want your other books. It's that you weren't able to come up with a hook that was good in an advert, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. I mean, the sales of the other books have gone up as a result, and the reviews that are coming through on those are excellent. So there's obviously nothing wrong with the books. It was the fact that I couldn't market them. And I've gone one step further with the next one, because I'm writing another one now, which I actually wrote the ad copy for first. That was the first thing I did before I had a title, before I had a plot. I wrote the ad copy, and I've written a book from that. So I'm kind of going one step further, and we'll see what happens there.
Okay, so this is going back to how Tim Ferriss did the 4-hour work week. When he came up with the titles for that book, he split tested the titles on Facebook and with other things, Google AdWords and stuff. I guess it was back then, like 10 years ago. Have you run that ad down to a landing page or something? Are you actually going to test that ad before you write the book?
No. I like the idea of the book enough that I'm going to write it anyway. So yeah, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But yeah, that's what it's all about. It's all about testing and seeing what happens and learning from it. And Facebook adverts are great for doing that, for being able to put something out instantly in front of your target audience and see what happens and measure their response and you know, their likely success or something.
No, I think that's great. And since I do think that's brilliant, but most people are going to be in the position of having a book that they then want to run an ad on in order to sell. And the most of the wisdom seems to be that it's best to run ads on a box set when you've got three books, because the royalty is higher, so you're more likely to get a positive ROI. So I have an advert that we're going to talk about right now. Okay. For my London, it's basically my London psychic crime thriller trilogy. The books are Desecration, Delirium and Deviance. They are, you know, kind of, they're crime, but she is a British detective. He is a psychic, reluctant psychic. There's definitely an edge of horror.
Okay.
So the reviews say things like not for the faint-hearted and things like that. But it is essentially a British detective thriller in London. Now, I'm going to put the advert on the show notes so people can go and see that. I'm just putting it out there. This is an ad I've run. This is an ad that has run, and this is a UK ad because it's set in Britain. I have some results on this ad, which I'm happy to talk about in a minute. But give me your feedback on, first of all, the ad and the text, because it's in the crime genre, which you're familiar with, but also what your ideas might be around targeting.
Okay. In terms of the ad itself, I mean, anytime I give advice to somebody on their adverts, it's based on what's worked for me. It might not work for other people. It's probably slightly more likely to work for you because you're in a similar kind of genre. I mean, first glances in terms of the text of it, I mean, putting the price in the description does tend to work well. Or if there's some kind of deal, if it's 40% off or something like that, that does tend to work quite well. I'd probably move that further forward in the text. I'd probably use that as a selling point. In terms of the kind of the blurb of the book itself, A Killer Stalks London After Dark, Can They Stop It Before It's Too Late? It's a great way of kind of getting it across quite quickly and succinctly, but it doesn't kind of stand out, was the only thing I'd say there. It's every crime fiction book, really. It's, you know, there's a killer, can they stop him, the murders before it's too late? It that could be replaced with any kind of any book, really, any crime fiction book. So it's a way, it's a case of finding the hook that sets the book apart. You know, what's different? Why do they need to read this rather than, so I'll go out and buy a Peter James or a Mark Billingham or whatever. It's I think it's a case of finding what the particular hook for your book is and pushing that. I mean, in fact, I've seen this ad a couple of times, it's literally just jumped out at me where it says three full-length books for just $5.99. I didn't even realise it was a box set, actually, until just now. So that's probably something that could be pushed. Again, further up the ad, making a point at the fact that it's a box set, you're going to be saving X percent by doing that. And also, you know, who are you to them? I mean, if they haven't heard of J.F. Penn, you know, are you, you know, I think I'm right in saying, was it New York Times bestseller as well? So that's something that, you know, you can mention in there. I mean, everyone can mention, you know, certain things. It's a case of selling yourself in a certain way to the market as well. Pictures. Very good. I like it. I probably would try it without the text on the picture. Certainly at least split test it, and I'll probably expect it would be better without, but again, you never know. Learn more on the button. That works well for me better than shop now and things like that. It just seems it's a strong enough call to action to get people to click through, but it's not kind of, you know, give me your money. It's a little bit, it's kind of equivalent to Mark when he uses his, you know, get my free books now on his mailing list building ads and things like that. The question on the ad, love crime thrillers with an edge of the supernatural, is good. It's leading. I like it. But it's kind of something that lots of people are doing. It again, it's like I see so many ads with who is character X, because that's something that Mark did and it's worked well for him. So everyone goes, oh, I'm going to do that and it's going to work. It's probably not. The more people who do it, the less likely it is to work. So again, it's not necessarily following a proven ads too closely, but kind of thinking, what is it about that that works? You know, it's not the fact that it is just a question, or you know, do you like this, you will like that. It's kind of finding a different way of doing things, I think, thinking slightly outside the box.
No, brilliant. That's brilliant feedback already. So just some things, if people don't realise, what is split testing?
Split testing would be where you're running, for example, on your advert, presuming everyone's seen it in the notes, you've got your advert, one with the lovely picture of London looking particularly bright and beautiful, and you've got the words, evil stalks the city after dark. For example, you ran that advert, and alongside it, in the same ad set, run the advert without the text on it. Everything else is the same, so you're literally just testing which one performs better, whether it's with that text or without. You then see after a few days which one performs better, kill the one that's not performing as well, duplicate the advert again and change something else. Like you might change
the headline.
Or you might change, get them for £5.99. You might change that to 40% off or whatever the particular deal is. See which one works best. Kill the one that doesn't work as well and then change another thing. And the idea is that you're getting your ad slowly more and more refined and making one change each time, seeing whether it works better or not. If it doesn't, you know, go back to the original. And the idea is your ad's going to get more and more specific and perform better and better throughout time until you've exhausted your audience, obviously.
Yes, so a couple of things there, because I think this is great because people are getting a much more kind of delving into the experience of it. But at the beginning with this split testing, so you can't, you just can't expect to put up an ad, and this is the first iteration of this ad. You can't expect to put an ad up like this, say, show it to fans of Peter James and expect to make 200% ROI.
No,
that just doesn't happen, right? So everyone who wants to do this properly has to have a budget up front. In order to put in a number of ads, like you say, and then kill off things. So put them up for, say, $5 each and then kill off things that don't work. So you have, you know, in quotation marks, lost that $5. But what you've learned will help you with the next iteration. That's basically what that testing process is, right?
Essentially, yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't even say that you've lost $5 necessarily. I mean, I would always say that I'd rather spend $1,000 to make $1,000 than spend nothing to make nothing, because your book's going out in front of people, your name's going out in front of people. Those people might read it and tell people. I mean, to be honest, even if you lose some money in the short term, you know, the long term gains might be massive. You know, the few people who do read it might tell other people, might leave reviews. Your name's out there, and it's a marketing exercise as well. I get so many comments on my ads from people saying, you know, I've seen this ad 4 or 5 times now, and, you know, for some reason it popped up into my head when I was on my lunch break today, or somebody was talking about something and I remembered it, and I'm going to buy the book now and see what it's all about. So it's not as simplistic as kind of putting it in front of people, and when they see it, they'll either buy or they won't. If you've got a striking enough advert and a strong enough hook, it's going to stick in people's minds, and it might take 5 or 6 times for them to see it before they go through and buy it. So again, you do need a budget to be able to sit on it and put some money towards it and see what happens in the long term, because it's not something that you can, I mean, Mark and myself and lots of other people always advocate waiting at least 72 hours before you do anything with an advert, in terms of, you know, even if, I mean, I have people come to me who've been running them for 4 or 5 hours and they go, it's costing me $2 a click, I'm going to kill it. And you go, no, wait. You know, some of my best ones have done that. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for for sitting on it longer as well and just seeing what happens. Some ads can be a really slow burn. You know, some of them will be, oh, this is a great deal, I'll get it now, and they download it and it's done. And some of them are a slow burn. It can stick in people's minds, and it can take, you know, 5-6 times of them seeing it, a good week before they'll buy it.
And two good points there. One, the day of the week does make a difference, doesn't it? I noticed a really big spike at the weekends. So if you started running something on a Tuesday and it was, you know, under, and then at the weekend, you kind of, it blows you out the water. Then over, you can start changing the timing of the ads, that type of thing. So,
It depends as well on where you are. I mean, for me here, Sundays are always, I mean, the five biggest days I've had sales-wise have all been Sundays. Saturdays are normally okay, but not as good as you might expect. Again, it depends what's going on in the world. I mean, for example, I think about a week or so ago, we had the, over in the States, they had the Republican debates, and Donald Trump wasn't there. He was doing his own one. Of course, everyone in the US was watching that, and my US sales just went, you know, for about 4 hours, it's just nothing. But conversely, a couple of weeks earlier, when we had all the snow on the East Coast, you know, New York was, you know, under 3 feet of snow, you know, the East Coast sales went up, and every other comment I was getting on the ads was from New York, was from New Jersey, was from people who were snowed in and had nothing else to do but read. So it's, you do have to kind of think out of the box and keep your eye on those things as well, because, you know, we're dealing with real people sat in front of a real computer in the real world, and, you know, how likely they are to buy something or to even be on Facebook in the first place is dictated by what's going on around them.
What else they do. And the other thing you said there, which I thought was brilliant, what's kind of described as this halo effect is, you know, if one ad results in X number of dollars, that's not just the entire point. And no one ever said that marketing was going to make you loads of money. I mean, that actually most people would expect to spend money on marketing and for it to, don't they say 50% of marketing works? We don't know what 50%, but now we do know which 50% because we can measure it. But like you say, that halo effect, how have the sales of your other books kind of moved based on advertising your main hook book?
Well, they've all gone up as well. I get so many messages from people saying I've read the most recent book, I've enjoyed it, and I've gone and bought all the others as well. So, you know, that person, you know, the £2 or whatever that I got when they bought the book, great, but they've then gone out and bought another eight. You can't always measure that from the start, because somebody's not only got to buy the book, but they've then got to read it. I mean, I get messages from people who bought the book 2 months ago and have only just got around to reading it and are now going out and buying all the others. So, the money that I'm making today is because of the success of the ads that I was running 2 months ago. So that's why it's so difficult, even within 3 days, to say whether it works or not. But of course, at the same time, people can't always go throwing lots of money at it. It's a case of spending what you can afford. But at the same time, taking it seriously and thinking, if you want to do this as a career, if you want to do it as a business, you want to make money out of it, like any business, you can't just set up a shop for free and open it and expect that, you know, loads of people are going to walk in. You've got to invest. You've got to put yourself out there. If it was a case of it costing nothing and you're just selling lots and lots of books, then everyone would be doing it.
Okay. So then just coming back to my ad. So, you know, you now know a bit about it. So how would I go about finding the right target audience? Because this is the other thing, isn't it? You can have like the most amazing hook and the most amazing ad, but if you advertise it to fans of Nora Roberts, you know, instead of Stephen King or vice versa, it's not going to work, is it? So how would you recommend I or other people go into the targeting?
This is something that's easier if you kind of write what you already like reading. So, for example, if you're writing in a well-established genre and you're not trying something too new, it's quite easy because you think, well, what authors do I like reading? And you might be surprised at how wide you can actually push that out. And for example, mine aren't horror-based at all, but targeting fans of Stephen King and people like that does do quite well. So don't be afraid to push it a bit wider with the adverts. Well, I know somebody who writes crime fiction who targets fans of Wilbur Smith and does surprisingly well. And if you can get, it's about hooking people into buying it. You don't necessarily need to be after the exact specific genre that you think you are, you might be quite surprised at how different genres and different authors cross over when you don't realise. Again, if this is a, if it's a genre you read that you're writing in, then you know the authors that you like. You kind of know the authors that move around there. And Facebook's quite good at suggesting other authors as well. If you type a couple in when you're setting up your ad set, it will make suggestions underneath. And you can perhaps jot down a couple of those and Google them, look on Amazon, see if they might be similar. And of course, don't be afraid to forget to remember that Facebook knows what works, knows how similar interests interact with each other, because it's got data from so many authors are doing this. So, you know, don't be afraid to use Facebook suggestions as well, and test it. You know, you might be surprised at the ones that do work.
Also, I know some people are going, and this is, you know, I've struggled with this, is the testing and the spreadsheet and looking at ROI and looking at relevance and frequency and all these different things. Well, you get over that because you're making money, right? That's what it comes down to. It's like, do you want to sell books and make money? Yes, I do. But how did you force yourself into that at the beginning?
It helps that I love spreadsheets.
You're abnormal then.
That does help. But yeah, like you say, it is the case of saying to yourself, do I want this to work? Do I want, you know, what do I want to be doing in a couple of years' time? Do I want to be writing full time? Do I want to be doing this as my business? Putting books out, selling them, building up a fan base. And if you do, then you have to do it. It's, you know, writing is not, I'm sure most people watching this know that already, that writing is not the life of luxury that a lot of people think. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of it is business, especially if you're making money from it. And it's something you've got to do. Nobody doing any job likes every aspect of it. You know, Premiership footballers being paid £100,000 a week probably don't like having to get up and go to training at 7 o'clock in the morning, but they have to do it because otherwise they're not going to be in the team. It's one of those things you have to do. Every job has its up and downsides. This is a fantastic job and I wouldn't do it any other way. And this is just part of what you have to do to make it a success.
And do you think we will reach peak Facebook ad? As in, it seems to be becoming so popular right now, which is brilliant because, you know, Mark and you sharing your knowledge means that more and more authors can get into it. But as with all things self-publishing, the more people are into it, the more difficult it becomes. So do you think we are going to start struggling the more authors come into this, or what are your feelings on that?
I mean, there's no getting away from the fact that the more people who do it, more people who target the same audience, prices go up. Profits go down because it's an auction when you're bidding for these clicks, and the more people you're bidding against, the more expensive it's going to get. There's a couple of ways that could go. Books could end up being pushed up price wise because people need to make more of a profit. It could be that the people who are least successful at it unfortunately end up falling off the end because, you know, they're going to be making less of a profit and not be able to take the hit as hard as, you know, people who, you know, perhaps are only making 20%. If you're making 20% on a lot more, it's kind of easier to stomach. It's impossible to say how it's going to go. I mean, in terms of for the Facebook users, I don't think they're going to see any difference. Facebook
just won't serve them up.
No, yeah, just because more people are advertising doesn't mean that Facebook shows more adverts. It only shows a certain number, so people aren't going to see the difference. I think what people are starting to do is see that there are a lot of adverts coming out which are basically the same ad. A lot of people are looking at the examples that Mark does and essentially trying to kind of copy a formula that's worked for him. And that's the thing with writing. We're all writers. We all sit and write books. We all try and market them. We all try and sell them. But we're all very different writers, writing very different books in very different genres with very different readers. So that's why you've got to kind of carve. Again, it's just it's one of those well-worn phrases, carve your own niche.
Which is great. And I have two, you know, I could obviously talk to you all day about this, but I have two more questions. One is, do you, I mean, you're in the UK, you advertise in the UK and the US. What are the differences that you've seen between the two markets? If you have a successful ad and target in the UK, do you just duplicate that, or have you noticed differences?
I do generally tend to duplicate it. US audiences do sometimes look for different things. I found that with adverts as well, if they don't like the book or if they don't like the fact your adverts pop up in the newsfeed, the American audiences can be a bit more vocal about that, especially in the comments sections. So they can be a bit more difficult to please, but that's no bad thing. It means you've got to work a bit harder and you've got a far bigger market there as well that does work. I'm also spreading out into Australia and Canada as well. I mean, I'm in that 3-day testing phase at the moment, so I'm not even going to look and see how things are going. But again, that's a market I'm going to be looking at next.
Mm. And iBooks, Kobo?
Yes, I have tried directly advertising those, and results were kind of mixed, to say the best. And what I found does work, if you're advertising it to Kindle, the sales elsewhere do go up, especially on a larger budget. It's obviously far more noticeable. But I don't advertise on other platforms at all. And you know, they're getting sort of mid four-figure profits each month. So that's down to what happens off the side of the Facebook adverts, and even paperbacks. You know, I was selling maybe 5 paperbacks a month before I started doing this. And even though I don't advertise the paperbacks at all, I'm now selling about 1,000 a month.
Wow.
So it's fairly clear for me how that's happened. It's not something I can measure directly. Mm. And that's what we were saying about earlier. It's that indirect effect.
Halo effect, basically.
Exactly. So many other things can be affected by it.
Mm. And of course, at the same time, you're presumably growing your email list.
Exactly, yeah.
And using the lookalike audiences and that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't advertise the mailing list in the same way as I did. I when I started off doing the ads, I built up quite a big list from giving away the free starter library type thing. And that worked really well, got a huge list and virtually no increase in sales off the back of it. You know, a little bit, but not compared to what I was spending on the adverts, which was quite a bit. And so I knocked that on the head. And when I started advertising the paid books, in the back of those books, I've got the invitation to what I call my VIP club, which now I'm getting more people signing up out the back of the book than I was when I was essentially paying them to sign up directly. And they're now the warmest of warm leads. They're people who have read the book, liked it enough to want to hear more about the others. So that's, I don't know figures wise how successful that's going to be, because I've not released a subsequent book yet, but in a few weeks' time I'll be able to know the success of that. And again, you can put that down to the Facebook ads. It's the halo effect in play again.
Mm. Oh, so interesting. Okay, so my big question then is, so let's talk about your best-selling book, the one you're advertising right now. So Her Last Tomorrow has this incredible tagline, which is on your ads: could you murder your wife to save your daughter?
Mm.
And that is the premise you came up with, right? That is your
yes,
book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you come up with it?
A combination of what I was saying about earlier, doing this approach to thrillers the same way Stephen King does to horror, putting normal people in a normal situation and then saying, what if this happened? And I think that's the premise of all good stories, is what if. You know, we're talking now on Skype doing a video interview. What happens if the video stream is hacked by ISIS? and they broadcast something on that. You know, it's just you come up with these ideas all the time. You think, well, that one wouldn't work, that one might not work, and occasionally one comes up that is really workable. And that was a similar thing for me. You know, you're just thinking about the most normal person in the most normal situation, in suburban driveway, putting his kid in the car. What happens if he goes in to get something and comes back out and she's gone? And you work on from there. Where's she gone? Who's taken her? Why? And merging that with another good hallmark of all books, which is the impossible choice that your main character has to take. And the impossible choice there being, he can have her back, but he has to murder his wife. And it's kind of a formulaic way of approaching writing a book, but it's not something that kind of works every time either. It does take a lot of playing around with different scenarios and sort of piecing different things together to come up with it, but it's worked brilliantly, and it's something I'm going to carry on using, definitely.
So, but on that, did you brainstorm like a whole load of ideas and then narrow down to this one? Or, you know, did you try, like you said, you're with the next book, you've designed the ad first, you know, is there just a big brainstorming period? I'm trying to imagine how you actually do that.
There is. I mean, it's a kind of an internal brainstorming, if you like. I mean, for example, my next book that I'm working on, I'm going to give away the plot and the premise here. It's an exclusive for you, because all I've told anybody is the title of the book so far. So this is a world exclusive for you. Back end of last year, I was working away and staying away in hotels quite a bit. And again, I was running through this what if premise. And one night I was sat there brushing my teeth in the bathroom. And I thought, you know, the bath is next to me. The shower curtain is across. What happened if I open that shower curtain and there's a dead body in there? What if it was somebody I knew who couldn't possibly be there? What if the murder had been set up to look like it was me who'd done it? What would then happen? And just kind of running away with this premise. And that essentially is the premise of the next book.
Cool. that is interesting. And I think this kind of hook, I mean, this is what screenwriters do. Mm. This is, and I'm going on a screenwriting course next week. So this is something that I'm really, because I, at the moment, I still write my books from just interesting things that I want to learn about. So I struggle with the back blurb. I struggle with coming up with a good tagline, all of that type of stuff. So I think basically what you're saying is, if you're thinking about it that way up front, it's actually, it helps everything. It helps the whole process all the way through to the marketing.
Yeah. What it does is it provides that kind of spark for you as well. I mean, for you, you're saying that the spark that you have in wanting to write a book is it's about something that you want to learn about. So you've got that reason to get up and write it, because you want to learn about this thing. Mm. And that spark, that what if, you know, that kind of, oh, great, that, you know, readers get when they see it, is exactly the same as what I get when I think of it. And I think, yes, I need to do something with that. That's it's going to be just as exciting to write it as it is to read it. So the hook's not just for the reader. It's also for you to have a reason to get up and write it and to motivate yourself to get it done.
Fantastic. You've been so helpful. So where can people find you and your books online?
They can usually find me in a local pub, but I think the best way of them to do it would probably be to go to my website, which is adamcroft.net. I'm on Twitter, Adam Croft, and on Facebook as well, Adam Croft Books.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for your time, Adam.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free Author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.